What is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to share the word. I'm Todd. I'm the student pastor here on the Hill. And today is Promotion Sunday. And that's sort of the idea of a lot of the folks you've seen around wearing the orange shirts with "It is time." It is time. Promotion Sunday, if you're not familiar with it, it is the idea of our children and youth sort of going up a grade officially as they will be in school, and that's a very exciting time for them. In fact, this weekend, we took a group of our upcoming sixth graders and seventh graders down to Houston just to spend time with them, to get to know them, stay up late and remind them they should go to bed, all those kind of things. And it was a lot of fun. And as I was thinking about Promotion Sunday, I began to think about, you know, the fact that it is an exciting time for young people, and it's probably a reason we don't make a big deal out of it for people that are not in children or high school, right? Because it's a little harder to be promoted from, say, the young marrieds class. And they're like, "I'm sorry, you can't call yourself that anymore. You've promoted." That's a little harsher than, "Yay, we're going into sixth grade." Or, you know, certainly the farther up that chain you go, you just don't want to start putting labels on that, right? Like when I was in Mississippi, our senior adult group's name was the Triple L, and it stood for Living Life and Loving It. And I got up, I had to do the announcements one morning, and I totally spaced on what it stood for. And I said, "Don't forget to come to Triple L this week. They had some sort of meeting, Living Life Longer." And that was not what it meant. And so we just stay away from Promotion Sunday terms outside of children and youth. But as we were thinking about Promotion Sunday, at least to me, Promotion Sunday is sort of like a second New Year's Day for a lot of families. In fact, this day probably is more significant to me and my year in the course of my family's schedule than actual January 1st, because this year starts the school year and everything rotates around that schedule. And so as we think about that, this idea of "it is time," and just out of curiosity, it's a little bit of a giveaway on the shirts, but do you know where the phrase "it is time" was probably inspired from? The Lion King, right? There's a moment when Rafiki, the monkey, looks at Simba, and it's his moment where it is a chapter is turning, and it is his turn to step up on the rock, kind of give that roar and say, "Hey, something new is starting here." And he looks at him and says, "It is time." And so this morning, I want to look at a passage where there's sort of a chapter turning as we begin this Promotion Sunday. And so we're going to be looking in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So Joshua is in the Old Testament, sort of towards the beginning of the Old Testament. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So let me read this here. "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, but hopefully everybody realizes this. But this book starts off with the spoiler: Moses is dead. So I hope I didn't spoil the story if you've just been reading through Deuteronomy. But Moses is dead in Joshua chapter 1. In fact, the verses right before where we started, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And then he turns to Joshua. And so this new chapter begins in the life of Israel and for Joshua. And for us, maybe it would be said, and this is hard to say, to be honest, but summer is dead. And school has begun or will begin for many of us tomorrow. I wish the heat would also go away, but we'll have the lingering effects of that. So maybe more aptly, it is summer break is dead. But that means that there is something new in front of us. A new school year, a new season, a new chapter of life for us. And so we need to just accept the fact that that season is over. For many, it's 11th grade year is over, or your grandkids, you know, fifth grade year is over. They're going into youth, whatever it may be. It is a new chapter. And so this idea of it is time. We can use that for a lot of different things. I mean, I've mentioned The Lion King. Many of you this morning maybe had the discussion and uttered the phrase over and over to one or the other spouse or children. It is time. Load the car. We've got to get there, right? Like, time is of the essence. And so if we are moving into this new territory for Joshua, the Lord speaks to him. And he says, look, the old is gone, and it is time for something new. Now, before we dive in, I want to give you just a couple of thoughts about the book of Joshua. Primarily, the book of Joshua is written for this purpose, to show that our God is a promise-keeping God. The book of Joshua is ultimately the fulfillment of promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Moses about the conquering of the land and the distribution of the promised land. And so if you read the book of Joshua all the way through, you will see various points where it gets down to the nitty-gritty detail about parsing up land to different tribes. And while we may look at that and go, wow, this is a really hard part of our reading through the Bible in a year, here is what is exciting, is every one of those details was God showing, I am fulfilling my promise to each of these tribes, and they have their land that I promised. God is a promise-keeping God. And that is primarily the point of Joshua. In fact, the passage that we read just a few moments ago that we're going to be examining a little bit in depth, this idea of be strong and courageous, it begins to lay out this idea of I've got a promise to keep and you're my vessel. It reminds us of a promise that Jesus made and a commission that Jesus made after he was crucified, buried, resurrected, and right before he ascended into heaven, he looked at his disciples in some very similar language. He gave a commission, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. See, Joshua's challenge was to conquer a physical kingdom for God's promise to be kept. And for us, there is a spiritual kingdom in which Jesus has asked us to go forth and to make his promises true that every tongue, tribe, and nation would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's a little bit of background of where Joshua is coming from. But let's look here in your life point outline. It is time to spiritually prepare for this new chapter. We should spiritually prepare. And that's really what my goal is this morning, is that each of us, as we launch into the unknown of what this school year will look like, is that we take a moment to spiritually prepare for the unknown. God knows what's ahead of us. We honestly don't. And so we must be prepared. In Joshua verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. And so right there, the first thing I want us to look at for spiritual preparedness is to be resolute to fulfill our purpose. Be resolute to fulfill our purpose. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. I'm about to keep my promises. I have this purpose. You are the vessel. But think about what he was asking Joshua to do. Just 40 years earlier, Joshua had been part of the spy group of 12 that had gone into the land and made a report back. Only Joshua and Caleb said, look, our God can do it. The other 10 said, they are huge. We cannot do this. We have been brought here to die. And then the people followed the 10 rather than the 2. They followed what was in front of their face rather than the 2 that believed in God. And that generation perished in the wilderness. And now Joshua is on the doorstep with a people mourning the death of Moses. And now they are set up for battle after battle after battle ahead of them to take over this land. In case you're not familiar, this was not land that was unoccupied. In fact, part of the promise would be that the children of Israel would go in and inhabit cities that were built, and they didn't have to build them. That there would be riches, there would be cattle, there would be all these things amassed, and they didn't have to bring them. They were going to go in and take it. And Joshua is asked to be strong and courageous, to be resolute to fulfill their purpose. And so as we begin this chapter, my question to us is this: will we be strong and courageous to fulfill God's purpose for this next school year? Will we be resolute to engage the people that God puts in front of our path, to share the gospel, to connect them to the Holy One? Will we be resolute to do that? See, this is why we have to spiritually prepare in advance, because when the moment comes, we can miss it if we are not prepared. What's interesting is in the next couple of chapters, before that first battle in Jericho, Joshua is led to spiritually prepare the people through a series of events. He consecrates the priests. He gets all the men who were born during the time of the wilderness and are now of age and fighting age and the men of war, and they circumcise them. Why did they do this? Because it was a sign of the covenant. It was spiritually preparing them to say, we belong to Yahweh. Then they have this moment where they take the Ark of the Covenant over the Jordan, and the waters part again, and they take stones and they build an altar to remember what God had done in their past so that they would have confidence to go forward into the future. Spiritually preparing so that we may fulfill our purpose. So a couple of things that I might just want to throw out there. If you've been hanging around, if you've been letting it jostle around in your mind for a few weeks, months, maybe even a couple of years, can I just say it is time. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, repented of sin and said, my way is gone and I seek to follow him, it is time today. If you have accepted Christ and been transformed, but you have never been baptized, and for whatever reason, maybe you're concerned about getting up in front of people or just trying to figure out the time or don't know the process, it is time. Maybe you've been visiting here on the Hill and you have not joined in membership to say, I'm not just going to be on the perimeter. I want to get involved. I want to go deeper. I want to be joined with the mission and purpose of Harmony Hill for Lufkin and the mission around the globe. It is time. And as Pastor mentioned, there's actually the class next Sunday evening. And so it is time. Maybe you've been a member, or you've been attending for a while, and you have not connected with a group of people in a life group like the video we looked at earlier. It is time. This is the time of emphasis. It's the time to go out there to the table, figure out where to plug in, take the next step in your faith journey. Let's look at the next one. Be resolute to follow his protocol. Be resolute to follow his protocol. In the verses that we read a few moments ago, he says, Joshua, do not go to the left or to the right from the words that Moses taught you. Do not veer left or right, because in fact, if you will focus on these words and recite them day and night, let them be a part of your life, then you will have success. Then you will prosper. And what he specifically means by success and prosper is, with the mission I am giving you, if you will not veer to the left or the right, you will have victory. You will be successful in claiming the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to be in the Word. And not only knowing the Word, but obeying the Word. James tells us to not only be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. For some of us, if we were just being honest, we have been great hearers of the Word. We have been faithful hearers of the Word. We have our seat and our favorite cushioned chair in this place, and we have been great faithful hearers of the Word. Maybe we even are in a life group and we are excellent hearers of the Word. Maybe we are doing many Bible studies and we are hearers of the Word, but we have not made the leap to doers of the Word. And the Lord says to Joshua, I've got a plan and a purpose and things to accomplish as you move into Canaan, but you have to hear it. You have to let it be part of you, and then you have to do exactly as I've commanded. And then and only then will you be successful in what I've asked you to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to be doers of the Word. The third one here, be resolute to faithfully depend on His presence. And if I just may, I was really thrilled that I was able to do the alliteration of the F's and P's in that little section. So maybe we can all remember, fulfill purpose, follow protocol, and faithfully depend on His presence. At the very end of this section, he says, did I not command you to be strong and courageous, to be resolute? Because I'm with you. Your courage, your resolute desires come from the fact that I will be with you. I'm reminded of a friend of mine. He came and spoke at a Disciple Now that I was doing, and he was sharing to the students about this idea of dependence on the Lord. And it is interesting that almost the longer that we serve the Lord, the more danger we fall into that we do things in our own strength instead of depending on the Lord, because we get used to it. And he was describing a moment when he was talking about his own Disciple Now weekend. He was speaking at mine, but he was talking about the one that he was leading at his church. He said, we got all the way through. We had all the plans. We had all the Bible studies written. I had the speaker, the band, everything together, the host homes, da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I woke up on the morning of Disciple Now weekend and realized I had not prayed to ask God to be part of that weekend. He said, it is so easy for us to do all the outward motions to appear to be doing the work of the Lord and yet not depend on Him. And for Joshua, the Lord wanted to remind him, do not go and attack one of these cities. Do not go and seek to claim this land in your own strength, because you will fail. Do not have courage and confidence from your own abilities as a leader. You must faithfully depend on me. And the question would be, as we spiritually prepare for this next section of our year, for you personally, for you as a family, are you going through motions that appear to have religiosity and Christianity stamps on them? Or are we doing things that actually depend on the Lord for success? And so it is time for maybe many of us to get on our knees, on our faces, and ask the Lord to forgive us for doing things in our own strength. But Lord, we know you are with us. That is my confidence. And so this season that we are heading into, You are with me. Help me to depend on you. Help me not to back away from things that are so large because only you could do them and I couldn't do them in my own strength. Be strong and courageous because I am with you. It is time. Number two, it is time to step out in faith. So Joshua spiritually prepared the people, and then it became the moment of truth to step out and actually onto the battlefield. In Joshua chapter 6, we get probably the most famous story, the most famous encounter that comes from the book of Joshua, and it is the Battle of Jericho. And I got to be honest, be strong and courageous had to be echoing through his mind when the Lord gave Joshua the battle plan for Jericho. If you're not familiar, it was essentially this. I want you to get all the men of war. And Joshua's like, oh, we got that. Then I want you to get some men with trumpets. All right, we got that. Yeah, we can do that. And I want you to do this, Joshua. I want you to get everybody in line. Don't let anybody say anything. And I want you to march around that city one time and then go back to camp. Okay, intimidation tactics. Okay, I want you to do that for 6 days, Joshua. Then on the seventh day, you're not going to walk around. He's like, all right, here we go, battle plan. You're going to walk around it seven times. And then at the seventh time, you're going to play the trumpets. You're going to scream a mighty shout and just know that I will have delivered Jericho to you. And so if you've read this encounter, I mean, I can only imagine Joshua, the new leader, standing up to tell the people that plan. And they're thinking, wow, this guy, did we vote on this? Like, what was his platform again? You know, like, okay, here we go. And so they march around the city. I don't know why. Maybe this doesn't make sense to you. If you haven't been to Six Flags in a long time, like the idea of standing in a long, long line for a long, long time. But like at Six Flags, no offense, I love it. We go there every year. But when people stand in line, I don't know what it is, but they take the gum out of their mouth and just stick it on walls and railings. And I don't know why. This is not biblical. Do not teach this. But I always just imagine there's just a lot of gum as the children of Israel walking around the city wall. Just, you know, I don't know. That's just in my mind what happens when people wait. I also got to imagine what happens inside the gates of Jericho as they're kind of geared up and ready for a fight. And they're like, here they come. All right, they're going around back, guys. Nope, they're coming back. They're leaving, guys. You know, just like by day five or six, what is their thought? Like, are they mocking them? Are they making fun? Are they throwing things over the wall? And then all of a sudden, day seven, they march around seven times. Joshua gives the cue. The trumpets blare. The men shout. The walls come crumbling down, and the Lord gave them total victory. In your life point outline, here is a truth. Over this school year, each of us will experience a variety of faith-stretching moments as we seek to obey the Lord. I'm not standing here as a prophet. I'm just saying as a person who has lived with human experience and following the Lord, I feel very confident every person in this place, every person listening online, you will have a variety of experiences this school year where God is going to stretch your faith if you'll let Him. It will be like walking around a city to destroy it. And God is saying, will you be strong and courageous? Anyways, so let me give you a couple things that may come up because this is what happened in Joshua's story. There's a couple of blanks here. In Joshua 6, he ran into obstacles, a giant wall, and yet he was strong and courageous and knew that that courage and that resolution came from the fact that God was with them. Then in Joshua chapter 7, we find out that there was a few within his ranks that did not obey the Lord. Remember, he said, do not go to the left or to the right. Recite it day and night. Don't veer away. And a man named Achan veered away. When the trumpets sounded and they shouted and the walls came down. Joshua was shouting out some other commands. I'm sure they went over it beforehand. I felt like it was probably like what I feel like sometimes on a youth event where it's like, all right, guys, we're going to get started, and then they're ready to move, and it's like, but remember to do this, and remember to do this, and remember to do this. And the walls are coming down. He says, remember, don't take anything. Everything is to be destroyed as unto the Lord. And Achan walks by, and he sees riches that he could not leave there. And he takes it, and he buries it. And so the next battle, Joshua sends a smaller troop to a little small town called Ai, and they got run out of town, and thousands of Israelites were killed. And Joshua said, what happened, Lord? Have you abandoned us? But there was moral failure. There was sin in the camp. And the Lord guided Joshua and all of Israel to root out that sin until Achan and those of his family were removed. And then they went back to Ai and had victory. And what I want you to understand is this. Over the course of this school year, you're going to run into obstacles, but you're also going to run into your own failures, your own sin, maybe the sin of others in your own home. Deal with the sin by taking it to the Father and then move forward with the mission. The enemy wants nothing more than to have you and I stumble in sin and then to give up and go, we're not worthy to do what God has asked us to do. That is a victory for the enemy. And Jesus says, you bring that sin to me, I've paid for that, but I need you to repent of it and move forward with the mission. Number three, there are relational tensions. Joshua chapter 9, a group of men get together. They band together. They form an alliance to take down Joshua and the Israelites. There's going to be times, probably this school year, where you're going to feel like people are against you. It's going to feel like there are an alliance of people forming out there against you. And the Lord says, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. You do what I have commanded you to do. You be a hearer and a doer of the word, and I will prosper my plans in your life. As we close down, I want to give us a challenge. One of my favorite movies growing up was a movie called Hook with Robin Williams. It was kind of like when Peter Pan grows up. And there's a moment that has always just stood out to me. So Peter Pan had left, he's grown up, and in the meantime, a guy named Rufio has taken over the Lost Boys. And there's two really important scenes in the movie where they literally draw a line in the sand, Rufio on one side and Peter Pan on the other, and the Lost Boys have to choose which side they will stand on. I've always just loved that imagery of drawing the line in the sand. Are you going to follow Rufio or are you going to follow Peter Pan? Well, at the end of the book of Joshua, after they've already completed the task of taking over Canaan and dispersing the land, in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, Joshua, he's getting ready to pass on. And he's getting ready to pass on to the next group who they'll have the next season, the next chapter in their life. And he says this, everyone, you must choose today who you will serve. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And what I'm suggesting this morning is that each of us draw a line in the sand. And can we say, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be spiritually ready for what God has for us, for the people we're going to connect with, for the neighbors in our neighborhood, for the kids that our kids are in school with or our grandkids are in school with, for what the church is doing, for sharing the gospel with those that I work with or eat breakfast with. I am in. There's a line in the sand, and I will serve the Lord because it is time. Here's a couple of ways that I want to encourage you as we close out this morning. You can fill in these blanks and we'll be wrapped up. When you draw the line in the sand and say that you're going to serve the Lord, here's a couple of ways that God may be asking you to do this morning. Ask God to show you the areas where you need to spiritually prepare. Some of the things I mentioned earlier, it is time for baptism, for salvation, for life group, for joining the church, for finding a place to serve here on the hill or in the community on behalf of the Lord. Number two, ask God to give you the courage to take faith steps. Some of you may already know that there's an obstacle in front of you as we start this new year. Some of you know that there's some failures that need to be addressed and taken to the foot of the cross. Some of you know that there are some alliances that have formed and yet you want to remain faithful. And so ask God to give you the courage to be faithful. And then lastly, we just need to praise Him for being a promise-keeping God. He was absolutely down to the parcel of land faithful to the Israelites when He was establishing a physical kingdom that the Messiah would come through. And He is equally faithful to keep every promise He has made to us about the spiritual kingdom of heaven and the place that He has gone to prepare for us, and that He will be back to come get us. And so we should praise Him for being that kind of promise-keeping God. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to watch the announcements on the screen. And I hope you have a great week, a great new year. It is time. Let's be faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word from Joshua. Thank you for the opportunity.